Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room podcast. This is Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, here at LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. Back in the podcast studio, Ray, and last time we were here, I believe it was before the Wisconsin game. Am I correct?
Right? I see right? Where you're going. Yes, okay. You're correct.
Yeah. So it was before the Wisconsin game. Now, in hindsight, 2 weeks ago, if I would have said that UNLV was going to be 0-2 this week, I don't think either of us would be terribly surprised.
That is correct.
I think if we talked about UNLV giving up about 6,300 yards in two games and 110 points, might be a little surprised.
That is also correct. I think they've only also scored 23 points as well.
Be a little surprised.
Because
honestly, I thought they were going to be able to score at least 23 at Washington State.
Yes, and only way to say it is that they got destroyed. 59-7, no enthusiasm, no interest.
No positives.
No positives.
They didn't turn the ball over. That's about the only one.
Yes, and they did score, and they did make it home safe.
I mean,
you
got to
look. You
got
to look for little positives.
All right, so obviously we're here talking about UNLV's 59-7 loss to Washington State last Saturday, and we're going to be looking ahead to the Hawaii home opener this Saturday at Sam Boyd Stadium. But let's talk about Saturday's game for a little bit. I don't know how much time we really have to dedicate to it, but I mean, we all expected them to go up and get pushed around at Wisconsin. They held their own on offense. They left with their heads held high. The coaching staff had a lot of positives to find on the film. But then you move forward a week. The defense is terrible. Every time Washington State drops back to throw, their receivers have 10, 15-yard cushions, if it seemed like. The offensive line struggled mightily, and that led to trouble running the ball. Caleb Herring looked uncomfortable for most of the day, only threw for 60 yards. I mean, just basically everything that could have gone wrong, with the exception of turning the ball over left and right, did.
You did, and I think what you saw is – it was awful, no doubt about it. But here's the good news. Can't get any worse. And here's the deal. It still is a young team. You know, they start 6 sophomores, 4 freshmen, and they've got more younger players coming off the bench. And I think what you might have seen is, you know, traveling in back-to-back weeks, you know, obviously Pullman, Washington State, not easy to get to. And I think this might be a team that, you know, you've got – and I'm not making excuses, but young teams have to learn how to travel.
They did have 2 days extra, though. In preparation. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
They did, but I'm just saying the wear and tear on your body, you know, because you also got school, you're going to school, you know, trying to get acclimated.
There's a few academic casualties here early in the season. That's not helping either.
There is, and I'm not making any excuses, but I'm anxious to see how they play Saturday at home against Hawaii. Okay, you don't have the travel. Okay, you obviously got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder for how bad you looked against Washington State.
You would hope.
And it literally can't get any worse. Mm-hmm. So Saturday is going to be the defining moment. Is your season going to be categorized by getting destroyed by Washington State and being a losing program, or could you at least make strides showing it's going in the right direction? I think it's a gut check. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. I was the one who said I thought they could win 4 games, and I look absolutely ridiculously wrong, even though you're closer to the program. You told me not to be that optimistic.
Well, however, I was starting to get a little more optimistic after fall camp. I liked a lot of the things I saw. I think I even elevated them to 3.5.
Selling you a used car every day. I'm like, Ryan, these Rebels are going to be great, bro. Here's why they're going to be good. Bobby Hawk is the man. He's the best. I look into his eyes. He's so charismatic. He's the guy. And you bought into it, and I was wrong. I sold you a lemon.
Yeah, you did. I don't want to drive this 1978 Beetle anymore.
Yeah, and also I'm looking for is something with automatic steering and windows. Go out against
a little AC.
Yeah. You know, home opener against Hawaii, there's going to be a lot of people there, not
maybe
wearing red. You know, Hawaii's going to bring a good crowd. At least show that you could do something positive. I mean, defensively, it can't get any worse. I don't know if it's just young and inexperienced players or if they're just flat out bad. Mm-hmm. And you hate to say that, but maybe they got to go out and recruit 11 new guys.
Yeah.
You know, I could think of 2 guys that I've seen play on that defense that I think are keepers. Mm. And I mean, maybe you just got
to... Who stood out to you on defense right now?
I think that Princeton Jackson is the best player they had defensively. Mm-hmm. Always near the ball, aggressive, proven track record. Yeah. Got banged up a little bit against Washington State, uh-huh. right? And I think Sidney Hodge from Palo Verde is a great player.
Agreed. Definitely agree.
And the other, I mean, look at your defensive line. Alex Klorman's a starter for you. I love the kid. I covered him at Del Sol. Non-scholarship kid working his way into a role. Now, he's either great and he was overlooked, or that's a great indication that their talent level defensively just isn't there.
Well, the defensive line is without question where they're the thinnest. You just can't argue that. I think at linebacker, you mentioned Princeton Jackson. He's a keeper. I think Tani Maka, the sophomore from Long Beach, I think he's a keeper. The secondary, they're just so young behind two of those guys. I mean, you have Pointer and Chandler who are, you know, okay players. And other than that, I mean, it's a bunch of young guys. You're just, I mean, how many different guys did they run out there in the secondary on Saturday just to throw something against a wall and see who could handle it? And, you know, this is going to be the area that I think you're going to have to watch the closest for the next few weeks, because Bobby Houck said yesterday, you know, this is a guy who, while he was an assistant coach at Washington, at Colorado, he was a defensive backs coach. And this is his area of expertise, if you want to say. He needs to get in there, and he said he's going to, and probably get more hands-on with these guys, because obviously they're not doing a lot of things right. But here's the question. You come off of that game against Washington State, a team that has been dormant for like 4 years. They hang up 59 on you, all from the offense. Now you're getting set to face one of the best passing offenses in the NCAA. I mean, how much can you really expect this defense to improve in 6 days?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, your defensive line last year only had 12 sacks. Clearly, the Washington State quarterbacks had plenty of time to throw.
They only had one sack. They only have one sack in two games this year.
Okay, so you got to get more pressure on the quarterback. Now, if you're not talented enough to do that, maybe you throw some blitz schemes out there, which is tough because now your secondary, which has been absolutely, you know, destroyed, decimated.
You're hanging them out to dry.
Yeah, and obviously they have no confidence.
Yeah.
So fixing it in 6 days, I just don't know if it's possible. I will tell you that, yes, Washington State was like 5-30-something the last 4 years.
They're pretty decent.
They're not that bad. I mean, yeah. And I go back, and we talked yesterday on our radio show. Okay, they beat Oregon State or Oregon State last year, and then they closed by giving Washington a great run for their money. Hung one on Idaho State, hung one on us. Maybe this team isn't that bad, but still no excuse to give up 59 and to look bad doing that.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the Hawaii game. This is a team that last year just obliterated UNLV in the season finale. I think a lot of people expected it going in. They lost a lot of the weapons around Bryant Moniz, but they still have Moniz. He's their senior quarterback. So far, completed 65% of his passes in two games. Interesting though, you can tell where there's some inexperience around him. He's only thrown two touchdown passes in two games this year, and last year he averaged almost three a game.
Yeah, but he's ran for about four, I think.
Well, yeah.
Here's the deal. Whatever quarterback lines up against UNLV looks like he's the Heisman Trophy winner, right? The backup from Washington State last week, who was absolutely awful, looked like a world beater. And the Moniz guy is, you know, threatening some of Timmy Chang's records over at Hawaii. I mean, the guy is a legit quarterback, and that spells disaster for UNLV. And I just don't know if in 6 days, I mean, to be a 19-point dog in your own building in your home opener against a Hawaii team that is awful away from their from the
doesn't
islands,
play very good defense.
Doesn't play defense, and they're just hanging out here in Vegas for the week because they can't afford to fly home.
So are we saying then, is that thinly veiled Ray Brewer's 5-star play of the weekend? Washington UNLV plus the points?
I don't know about that, but I mean, I'm just, something's got to give for UNLV. I mean, they're not that, maybe they are. I mean, you were at game, it wasn't on TV. I didn't see the train wreck.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of it has to do with the offensive line. Because they could have scored more points last week. I was not blown away by Washington State's defense at all. But UNLV's offensive line just played so bad. And, you know, Caleb Herring was running for his life. The run game couldn't get consistently going. And, you know, I think confidence-wise, there was one point in the game that I look at. They were down 14-0 late in the first quarter. And they have 4th-and-4 at about the Washington State 40. And instead of going for it, they punted. And the defense got a sack on first down and then let them go about 90 yards in the next five plays to score. I think at that point, the confidence completely drained from that football team. They need something early in this game against Hawaii to feel good about. They need it.
Because
they're not a team that is equipped to play from behind.
And maybe you call like an onside kick, you know, something where you could get a break going your way, create some chances. I mean, even though you don't want to put your defense in worse shape than it is, because field position. Imagine if they had the punter from last year, this year.
Yeah.
It'd be even more. I mean, you kind of get the feeling that toward the end of the game last week, everybody in the whole stadium was like, you know, feeling bad for UNLV.
Let's just get it over with.
Let's get these guys back. Don't hurt them, please. Yeah. You know, it's just, and I type in the box scores. And you got to see every week, I got to add 100 guys that are like 5'7", 160 with three catches. You know, guys that you've never even heard of. You can't even find, you know, guys that have jersey number 1A and 1B playing. I mean, it's just, it pains me to say this. You know, I'm a UNLV grad. Everybody knows I got rebels inside me and that, you know, I try my best to be objective this job. And everybody knows that I think if Bobby Hauke can't get it done, I don't think anybody can. He's a proven winner. He's charismatic. He's dynamic. He's the man. And it just pains me to see them. It looks like they've taken a step back. I mean, last year, everybody gave him his mulligan. First time out, tough schedule, put in a bad situation. And now here we are, schedule's too tough, still tough. But to look that bad is just – I'm telling you, dude, this is a make-or-break game. They've got to show them that they've got some kind of football program. They've got to have scoring drives. They got to have some excitement. They got to do something – or everybody's going to forget about him. Basketball's everybody, new coach, run a gun, rebel glory back. Dude, in 2 weeks, they'll have 6-7 games left.
You got to grab people somehow right now.
It's Saturday or bust.
Yeah.
Saturday or bust, September 17th.
Because here's the thing. If you come out and you show out like you did last week, next week you're playing Southern Utah, that game is on the schedule so you can get a win. But there's going to be no buzz for it whatsoever. I already don't think there's much buzz for this one. And it doesn't help that this game falls on the night of a Mayweather fight, but what do they have to do to keep your faith alive?
I just think they got to play better. Mm. I mean, they don't have to win, but they can't lose by 52 points, especially if they're in their own building.
Yeah.
I mean, and listen, we know they weren't going to go to a bowl this year. Okay, we know it's a major makeover that
next year's the
do.
Year when we were expecting to see them turn a corner.
Okay, they got Reno at home. The schedule softens significantly. The players will be a year better. Now, of course, there's that other side of the argument. Your crappy players that have been losing for 2 years are now still going to be crappy players. They're just going to be a year older.
Or can you coach them up?
So, you know, obviously they extended Hauk. Yeah, you got to be able to recruit. So they're kind of like, okay, we got a 5-year plan with this guy. Okay, we've got to start, you know, getting closer to 500 next year, 500 maybe the year after, and then bam, 8-4 in a bowl game? 8-4? Could you win 8 games? I mean, in that league, you got to figure there's going to be Fresno, Hawaii, Boise. Loss, right?
Wow.
Right? So you're looking. Okay, so you're going to have to beat Wyoming, Colorado State, New Mexico every year, which means you're going to have to win on the road, which is nearly impossible. I think there are 3 in their last 28 road games, give or take. Mm. So, I mean, they're behind the eight ball. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Politely.
Now, before we get out of here, I want a prediction. We've kind of danced around this in assuming that this game's going to be ugly to the Saturday. Prediction time.
I'd say UNLV loses 48-17. Oof.
Well, that actually sounds pretty fair. I'm probably going to go about 42-20.
See, I mean, 42 points seems like nothing for that. I watched Hawaii beat up on Colorado, and they just moved the ball up and down the field at relative ease, for whatever it's worth.
We'll see. I'm going on the assumption that UNLV is going to be able to run the ball better than they did last week. Okay. So they might eat up some more clock.
Let's close with one more question. And folks, feel free to send us a note or comment on the bottom of the podcast with this answer. What week of the season do you think UNLV will have its first lead in? Or should I say, other than the Southern Utah game, when do you see UNLV having a lead in a game? Or is that too negative?
No, I don't think that's too negative, but I think it's tough to pinpoint. Very tough. If they get the ball first in any game, I think they can take the lead.
I mean, because if you
just, they have a capable offense.
But if they look, I mean, if you take last year and the first few weeks this year, how many times were they seriously in the game after halftime? Three times? The two wins they had and maybe at
Idaho?
Well,
they have yet to have a lead on the road in 9 road games under Hauk. So let's just say if you're going to make a pick, don't make it a road game.
Exactly.
Just got to go with the trends, baby. All right, for Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. Thanks for listening to The Rebel Room. We will talk to you again next week while UNLV is gearing up for Southern Utah. Until then, keep reading. Take care.